be someone who advises young men your age in today's world, the person needs several qualities. First and foremost, the person needs to be shakua in Torah and guided by the values of Torah, by a true hashkafas haTorah. Second, the person needs to be someone who understands the times that we live in and the unique challenges that those times provide us with. And third, among many other things, a person needs to understand people and have a deep sensitivity to people. Rabbi Finkelman is world-renowned for having all three of these qualities in very great measure, and that's why he is so beloved, adored, appreciated, and above all else, needed by Klal Yisrael. And it's such a great kavod for us that he decided to accept the invitation to come and be mechazik us with Divrei Torah this evening. Just want to thank Rabbi Finkelman for coming and ask him to please share Divrei Torah with us.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Leibowitz, Brashus, Rabbi Leibowitz, and the other Hanhala members here, and Kol Kol Kodesh is a Chashuva Koilal. It's interesting, I spent Shabbos, when I'm now in camp with my yeshiva. Our yeshiva moves up to the mountains for the summer, and we learn here until Elul comes. But before my yeshiva opened their camp, which is only about 4 years old, I spent a lot of years in camping. I was 20 years at Camp Trevidas, and there I was 14 years, I was a head counselor for them. When they closed, I spent 17 years in Dor Golding, in charge of the teen program. And after that, I went for 3 years to Ura, which is a world unto itself. And when my Rosh Yeshiva asked me to join the summer camp of our yeshiva, so I told him that I would do that, but I would like very much to be able to go opening Shabbos every year to Ura, which I'm doing. I just this past Shabbos, they open up Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av every year. And I was there this past Shabbos. I'm mentioning it because they also have a kollel. And it's a very, very important thing. And when I decided what to speak about, here we are in the 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, but I just think that the theme that I'm going to speak about tonight really is the theme of Shabbos Chazoin. And I want to tell you the importance of a kollel. It's interesting, Ura is a camp where they bring the children who need kiruv. That's the whole idea. And they do tremendous work in Kiruv. But they also have a kollel of Bochrim who learn full time, because it's a tremendous example to the children. It's a tremendous thing. What you're accomplishing here by learning, in addition to all the accomplishments that Torah does for the entire world, but what you actually do for the campers and staff who are here in Camp Keli is something you can't even picture. Because the way they look up to you, the respect they have, and understanding that there is such a thing, such a concept of loving to learn and being attached to Kadosh Baruch Hu through learning is something very tremendous. And the key to it all really is in the first words of the Haftarah of Shabbos Chazoin. And although we have a big Siman Tov this year, in the Monday and Thursday Tachnun, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vareinu Oyskel Toiv, show us a sign, you know, a good sign. And I do think that a year when Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, every year we dream and we hope, you know, Asara B'Teves is the Yom HaDin for Tisha B'Av. The Abu Draham tells us that the way we conduct ourselves in Asara B'Teves, the way we mispalil for the Geula in Asara B'Teves, decides what this year's Tisha B'Av will look like. And we always hope it's going to be a Yom Tov. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Tisha B'Av that comes out on Shabbos, it is a Yom Tov. We sing Zmiris and we eat Seudais, and the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is that the Seuda Shlishis is Kesudas Shloimai B'Shaitai, that it could be mamish a royal feast. There's no Seuda HaMafsekes. It's like every other Shabbos. The difference might be that we might sing less quick Negunim and more heartfelt and deep Negunim by Seuda Shlishis. But our dream is that from the Seuda Shlishis we'll go right into a Malava Malka, Seuda Stavad Malka Mashiach. That's our dream. And the way to do it is to learn the lessons before Tisha B'Av comes. So there's a whole Torah from a B'Leu Lapian, Zichrono Livracha, on the first psukim of the Haftarah of Shabbos Chazoin, Chazen Yashir ben Amoitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bonam gidalti v'roimamti, I raised children, I lifted them up, and they rebelled against me. Yod Ashor Koinehu, every ox knows its master. V'chamor evus ba'olov, every donkey knows the trough from which it eats, that its owner owns. And Ami lo yoda, my nation doesn't know its master. Yisrael lo yisboinan, the Jewish people don't think, and they're willing to go after idol worship in order to be able to do other sins, like what happened a few weeks ago in the parasha of Balak, the Baal Peor, to be able to do other things that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow, but the Avodah Zarah allows it. Avodah Zarah actually came about because people wanted to be looser and didn't want to have to follow the Zionist B'nai Noyach. But in any case, Rabbi Avyan addresses the question. He addresses the question of what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's taina on us? That we're not like an ox. If you take an ox and you line up four men, every ox will go to its own master. Or you fill up a number of eating troughs for different donkeys. Each donkey will go to the trough from which it eats. And we don't go to Hashem. The ox and the donkey are programmed. They're like a computer. They're like a robot. They don't have a chira. They don't have a yetzer hara. We can't be like them. What's the comparison? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the Navi to tell us that he's upset with us. V'heim pashu bi, they rebelled against me. Because they don't know who their master is. We really do know who our master is. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave us a big yetzer hara. So, and they live on instinct. We live on choice. You know, the American culture has an idiomatic expression where there's a will, there's a way. It's not true. It's just not true. Many people have a will to do certain things. People want to find jobs. People want, whatever the people want to do, I don't want to go through a whole list, but we all know there are some people who have tremendous desire to accomplish in life, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a different idea for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a different plan for them. But there's a will, there's not always a way. We have a similar saying, but it's according to the Torah. Our saying is, Ein davar ha'oymed b'fnei ha'ratzon. Nothing stands in the way of will. Nothing stands in the way of wanting what's right. Nothing stands in the way of making the right choices. Will our correct choices accomplish? I don't know. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide that. It will allow us to accomplish. But we show him our choices by doing things toward that end. Nothing stands in the way of Ratzai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all tests, and we show him what we want in the test. That we have right to, that we can do. Whether we can accomplish it, that's really up to HaKadosh Baruch. That's not up to us. Most of the time, when there's a will, there's a way. Most of the time, we break through. The Eibushter gives a person, if they work hard and something good, Hashem knows what's good for us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes those decisions. But we're not like an ox or a donkey. We have free choice. So if Eliel Apian, he has the root of his Shtikl Torah is that, no, the Eibushter has tainus on us as far as our instinct is concerned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the example of an ox and of a donkey that only live on instinct because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset that our instinct is not talking to us. Emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inborn. It's in the genes of every Jew. Every child of Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu, a ger and a geiris as well, once they become a child of Avraham and Sarah, we have in our genes Emuna. We know Hashem. We feel Hashem. Proof, look at preschool children. Look at young children. They are enthusiastic about everything about the Rabbeinu Shalom. We were all that way when we were very young. And I remember my own children, as they went through that stage of preschool and came home pressing me to review the Aleph Beis with them. They wanted to review. It wasn't like later on in life, will you review the Gemara with me? I want to do this now, I want to do that now. But initially, the Emuna is alive and vibrant. You ask a little child, do you love Hashem? Yes, how much this much? I remember one of the most cutest stories I remember from my own children was that I wanted the children to appreciate that Baruch Hashem, my wife, Shalom Be Well, cooked dinner. We didn't eat from restaurants. We didn't buy takeout food. And sometimes the children, as they were growing up and they heard from their friends, they went to restaurants and they brought in outside food. Why don't we ever do that? So I would tell them, because we're lucky. Because Baruch Hashem, mommy cooks. She's active and interested in giving us home-cooked food. So we don't have to go out to restaurants. It's sad not to have your food in your house. You know, but so I wanted to make them a little more enthusiastic about it. So I'd sit down by the supper table, and in the middle of dinner, I would ask the children, who's the best cook in the world? So at one point, it was the fourth child. He was just under 3 years old. And I remember I asked the whole family, come on, I want them to thank my wife that she made supper. Who's the best cook in the world? He said, Hashem. I said, what? He said, Hashem's the best everything. I said, you're right. Who's the second best cook in the world? He's right. But that's instinct. We're born with emunah. He brings a raya from the Gemara Baba Basra, the Fayin Beis, a certain story there's a story there with the Rabbi Bar Noah, one of the Tanoim, had a Talmud whose wife thought he wasn't home. And we see from here also how children, mamish, take a hashbar from the parents without even knowing whether it's positive or chas v'shalom negative. And this husband overhears his wife telling her daughter that, if you want to live a sinful life, at least it shouldn't be advertised. People are talking about you. Nobody knows about me, she told her daughter. So her daughter says to her, what do you mean? You don't live a good life? And she told her daughter, you have 10 brothers. Only one is a kosher child from the 10 brothers. Only one is your father's son. And nobody knows. Nobody. And everyone's talking about you. So we see from the Gemara a lot of things. One of them is that the daughter had no idea, but she already had that bad midah, was in the ear, was in the atmosphere. In any case, he ran to his Rebbe, the husband. He overheard this. He said, what do I do? It's a major problem. There's all kinds of shilas, so many shilas. And he was soon niftar. The father was niftar. He didn't live long after that, after he found that out. So Rebbe Bar Noah now had a chore. He knew there was only one Yerush over there. So he went to visit them. And he said that after the Shiva, I heard this on a tape from Rav Eliel Lapian. This is a shmuz that was written down later on by Rav Shon Shvadron, but I heard it on tape. I heard his voice, all his emotion, all his passion in his voice in this prat, where he said that he said probably the reason that Rabbi Bar Noah told the boys to do the following thing is because Kol be'asor shchin t'shariyo. Wherever there's a minion of Yiddish and Neshamis, the shchin is there, even if nine of them are mamzerim. But Lamaisa, the Yiddish and the Shamish, they came from a Jewish mother. And there were 10 of them. There were 10 boys. Because he says, he told the boys, says in the Gemara, that after the Shiva, go to your father's kever. Each of you take a stick, tap on the kever, and say, Abba, Abba, who is the Yerush? So they did this. They came back to the Tana, and they told her, their father's Rebbe, and they said, didn't work. We didn't get an answer. He said they would get an answer. They'll all tap on the kever. And they're going to hear a baskel. Something's going to happen. They'll find out who's the Yerush. He said to them, your father left me a verbal tzavo'o, which is really true, according to what the father told him. He told me he wants only one of you to get the whole Yerusha. Which one of you is the one he wanted to give it to? And they didn't know, of course. So he told them to do this, and they'll find out who it is, because he knows only one is supposed to get the Yerusha. That was the father's verbal tzavo'o, he told the boys. Anyhow, they came, they told him it didn't work. He said it had to work. The Tanoim, the Amirom, they could be Mechaim Mason. He had Ruach HaKodesh. He said, you didn't do what I told you if it didn't work. So they said, well, one of our brothers didn't want to come. Only nine of you went. Bring him here. What do you mean he didn't want to come? So they brought the other brother, and Rabbi Bar Noah said to him, what's this? I told you all you have to go out to the Beis Olam. You have to tap on the grave and ask, who is the Yerush? So he said, Rebbe, what would happen if I tapped on the grave and a baskel came out and said, I am the Yerush, so I'll be very wealthy. So to become very wealthy, I'm going to shame my father and tap on his grave with a stick. I should become rich. I'm going to embarrass my father. I'm going to go with a stick and tap on his grave. I'm moichel the money. Let them have the money. I can't do it to my father. I can't tap on his gate with a stick that I should become rich. I can't do it. So Rabbi Bruno said, that's the Yerush. He says, you see, instinctively, the kavod, the level, it's no fault of the other nine that they were born from chutzpah, that they were born in a maisa chutzpah, with a maisa ra. It's not their fault. The Eibush has cheshbonis for. He gave neshamos to this woman who lived a life of chutzpah. But the maisa, the other nine, could tap on the grave to get rich. And this one pure neshama said, I can't embarrass my parent that I should become wealthy. I can't do it. So Bono said, that's it. Says Rabbi Eliyahu Pian, that's the time of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yod Ashor Koinehu, the ox doesn't lose its instinct. Chamur Evus Ba'alav, the donkey doesn't lose its instinct. Ami Lo Yoda, and my nation lost its instinct. You don't know who's your father. You can go after Avodah Zarah, Gilei Aroyos, V'chas Domin. Yisrael Lo Yisba'inam, where's the instinct? Everyone's born with Emunah. No one loses it. No one loses it, ever, ever, ever. That's what they call the Pintel Yid, is the Emun and Hashem. It gets covered over with dirt. So Rav Elia says, in the Shmuz, what happens to instinct? What can happen to it? So he said twice in his lifetime, he had experiences that taught him how instinct gets lost. He said it was after World War I. He was still living in Russia. And the starvation was severe. And he says, it's interesting because I still remember the emotion. I don't have the tape anymore. It was the cassette. And I loaned it to a chaver who told all about the shmooze. He wanted to hear it. And he was very, you know, he's one of these, I don't know how he's called, artistic kind of people. So he wanted to hear it in the right setting. So he went rowing on a quiet lake. It was the summertime. And took a cassette recorder with him with this shmooze to listen to it on the lake in that kind of a setting. And I don't know what happened, but he said that the tape recorder ended up in the water and it's gone. But I still remember it. That Cervelli said that there was so severe the starvation that they had to eat not kosher animals. Whatever they could find, they had to eat. And when you do that, you have to make a bracha. Stamazoy b'tzei aberich nietz Hashem. If you make a bracha on tarfas, the Eibush doesn't want that bracha. If a person's eating because of taiva, he's eating not kosher. But if a person must eat it, you make a bracha. If that's keeping you alive, you have no choice. He said, we had to do it. There was no food. But it came to a point, the older people were delirious. They didn't, they were walking aimlessly in the streets, older people. They got weak from the starvation, and we would ask them, what are you looking for? And they would say, we're looking for our house. And he said, could you imagine a person loses their home? It's instinctive, your home. When we go to our homes, all of us, Baruch Hashem, we have our mind clear. We don't think about the combination that we're punching into the lock to open it up. It's just part of our instinct. We're thinking about something totally different while we do that. And these people didn't know where they lived. So Elias says we would take them by the hand. He was a young man then. And we took them to their home. They say, oh, thank you, yes, this is my home, thank you. He says, a few weeks later, the same person, the same home, they would say, are you sure this is my home? He said, I learned that starvation will take away instinct. In Ruchnias, he said, if we don't learn well, if we don't daven well, chas v'shalom, it can weaken the instinct. Starvation weakens instinct. They lost it. They didn't know where they lived. He says, years later, in Eretz Yisrael, one of his children, Rachmana Litzlan, became terminally ill and ultimately passed away, Rachmana Litzlan. He said, but daily I would visit him. He says this on the tape, so again, emotionally. And every day, either I brought friends of his from yeshiva or siblings, brothers or sisters, to visit him. He says, but he got weaker and weaker. And one day, he turns to me when his friends were there, and he says to me, Abba. That's the Russian he uses. He says to me, Abba, who are these children? And I said, these children, they're your friends. You grew up with them. They're your friends in yeshiva. He was 9 years old. This child was 9 years old. They're your friends. Don't you know them? I said, I don't know them. He said, but time passed, and it was his brothers and sisters. And he turned to me. He said, Abba, who are these children? Why are they here? And I said to him, Sidach Tan Bridish Fester. He's a Yiddish shir. He gave it in Yiddish. Sidach Bridish, except for the word Abba, interestingly. Sidach Bridish Fester. It's your brothers and sisters. He said, I don't know them. He says, and one day he turned to him and he asked him, who are you? Why are you sitting here? He said, I told him, Ich bin dein Abba. I am your father. Don't you know me? He said, I don't recognize you. You're my Abba? He said, I learned that infection can take away instinct. In Ruchnius, he said, if we take in the poisons of the outside world, you know, their pritzus, their music, the Baditshava writes that in the Hecholos in Shamayim, there are different compartments in Shamayim from which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends different Shefa to the world. And he says the Hechol of Negino, of music, is right next to the Hechol HaTshuva. The Baditshava says because proper Nigun can bring a person close to Hashem. Chas v'shalom, improper nigun takes a person away from Hashem. My Rebbe Rav Wolfson, Shalom Yeruel, he told us that there's a sefer from the Malbim called Shemos HaNirdofim, similar nouns. Because Lashon HaKodesh is such a magical language that could be a shir for hours and hours by itself. The unbelievable Lashon HaKodesh. So when words are spelled similarly and they mean different things, they're spelled similarly because they are similar if we analyze them. Two such words are zemer, which is a song, and zoymer, exact same letters, a malacha on Shabbos, pruning, cutting branches. So my Rebbe said, why? Because psuke de zimra, the psukim of song that we say before we get to Birchas Yoitzer, which is the prelude to Shemayim Esrei, are psukim that cut down the barriers. They are zoymer. Proper zimra is zoymer. It cuts down barriers between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it brings us closer and closer to that point of Shemayna Esrei, of the tremendous union of ourselves and Hashem Yisborach. But that Shemayna Esrei is, that it's so special that our neighbor can't even hear us speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so personal and private. Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler in Michtam Eliyahu, Chelek Dalet, he has a piece on Tefillah, and he writes about this. That although we must express our words, really Hashem knows our thoughts. We say it every day in the Ani Mamins. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows all the machshavos, all the ma'asim, the tenth Ani Mamin. That Hashem knows everything that we think, everything that we do. So if Hashem knows what we're thinking, why can't we just think our tefillah? And Hashem will give us what we want, if it's good for us. But he explains that that's not, no, because in life itself, if something is really important to us, then we express it. And the whole inyan of tefillah Shemayna Esrei, everything we ask for, every one of our gashmias tikkun needs, of our physical needs, is all ruchnias. Because we only want the physical in order to serve Hashem. So if it's really important enough to us that we should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu well, therefore we need food and we need clothing, we need whatever it is, we need health, all the things that we need. So a person expresses what's really on his heart. So we have to express it. But we express it so quietly because in relationships, the closer the relationship, the more personal and private it is. You know, in the Torah Dika home, you never see a public show of affection between husband and wife. You just don't see it. It's not done. It is so choshuv, it's so private, it's under wraps. You don't see it. Shir HaShirim explains to us that the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like husband and wife. So it's so personal that the neighbor next to us can't hear us talk to Hashem. It's such a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the inyan of tefillah. And that nurtures emunah. So the Baditshava says that proper zimra, that negin is right next to Eichel HaTshuva, because that's what it's supposed to accomplish. So Rabbi Eliyahu Pian said, I learned that infection takes away instinct. Doesn't take it away. We never lose it. Sorry, wrong word. Infection will cover over the instinct and not let it talk to us. Unless we go on a healthy diet and shed those pounds of tumah that we may have taken in. The way the diets work in Gashmias, they work in Ruchnias. You know, the healthy mind never forgets anything, but it goes further back, further back, further back into the memory store, and it doesn't bother us as much. Its best thing is not to let anything in. That's the best thing. But if we did, so the diet system in Ruchnius also works. But that was his point. That's the taina, that Eibishter expects us to nurture our emuna. So I wanted, in the minutes that remain, to take this a step further. Because even though this is a kollel, and you're sitting and learning, and the camp has a whole staff of counselors that are mashpiyim on the children of the camp, but as we said before, you are really mashpiyim. I know as far as the yeshiva world is concerned, we tried to have a kollel in the yeshiva, partially that the young children should already have what to look up to see, there are people mamash who devote their life to Torah. They should see it as young as they are. And in a camp setting, it's certainly a very, very valuable simple to call it. It's such a chashivus, but it's such a tool in the chinuch of the children. So, what it means to be an example. Now, the Torah tells us, mistakes that great people made. And it's not Lashon Hara. Like, let's take Miriam, for instance, Lashon Hara that she spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, which was such a finite Avera. She spoke only to her brother Aaron, only out of love for Moshe Rabbeinu, only out of caring. But she was missing one of the Tanoim that is brought down in Halacha, that if we miss that tonight, so the Lashon Hara is still an Avera and not a Mitzvah. And that is that she didn't speak to Moshe Rabbeinu himself about it. She spoke to Aaron without speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu first. But so many tzaddikim that the Torah tells us things that they did, because we have what to learn from them. You know, my wife's grandfather, Olav HaSholem, came from Hungary. And he did not go through the war because right before the war, he was a student in Debrecen, and he was grabbed by some goyim, and they cut off his payas. And he went to the police, and they laughed. They did nothing. So he told his parents, if this is, what is going on here, I'm leaving, I'm going to America. And his parents begged him, he already had a kala, to marry over there, and they were very, very wealthy, and they wanted to support him in learning. And he said, no, she'll follow me to America, I'm not staying here. Before the situation became as severe as it later became. And anyhow, he came to America, he learned English, and he spoke it without an accent. He was an amazing person. He made a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he married off his youngest child. As the Eibishter will bench him to see great-grandchildren, he'll make a siyum on a masechta for every great-grandchild. And Baruch Hashem, he couldn't keep up with it. But Baruch Hashem. He sent us hadrons in the first few great-grandchildren, but he wasn't able to keep up with it. But he said to me that he became a Rav. For 17 years he was a rabbi in Virginia. The first 17 years he was in America. That's where he had all his children. They all were born in Virginia. And he left there because they wouldn't make a day school. They were very rich. It was a very rich kahillah. And they had a lot of money, and they had a vote. He wanted a day school, and they voted to make a country club. So he wouldn't tell me the story, but his wife, Allah Shalom, told me the story. She said he didn't brag about himself. But he said, she told me that the day of the inaugural ball of the country club, my wife's grandmother, pack our bags tonight because they're going to run us out of town after this ball. So make sure you pack the suitcases. Even though he was the rabbi, and at that point they loved him very much, but he had to greet all the dignitaries from Israel who came for this grand opening of the country club because they gave so much money to Israel. So they had certain dignitaries flew in to Virginia for this party. And he started his speech, the grandmother told me, welcoming each dignitary individually, he says, I want to welcome you to this house of idolatry, because that's what it is. We have no day school. Our children are in danger of intermarriage, and we'd rather have a golf course, a country club, rather than a day school for our children. And of course, he was duly fired that evening, and he ended up moving to Michigan, where he built with his own two hands, above ground, no basement, a four-room house on a piece of land that he was able to buy with a little bit of money that he had. And he opened up a company called Greenfield Noodle Company, which to this day is a shame dover in the Midwest. But he sold it after he married his youngest child and moved to Eretz Yisrael and sat and learned the rest of his life. But in any case, his point to me was once that the women's ladies auxiliary of the shul every month got a guest speaker. And as the rabbi, he was the only man besides the guest speaker that came, because he was the rabbi. I had to introduce the guest speaker and sit there. One time they got a general from the American army, and he was very religious, and he spoke against the Jewish religion, and he spoke about the fact that in your religion, in our Bible, in the New Testament, all of our leaders are saints. They are sinless. They are examples. They are good. Look at your leaders in your Bible. Moses hit the rock, and this one did this, and David did this, and like, how could you be Jewish? He came and he spoke in this Orthodox shul, ladies auxiliary, you know, against Yiddishkeit and how much more perfect their religion is. So my wife's grandfather told me the story. He said I normally would never speak after a speaker, but over here I had to say something. These women are totally ignorant of Judaism. They call themselves Orthodox. He says, but you know, the first Shaila I had, the first Shabbos I was there, I was approached by one of the Balabatim, and he said, you know, we are Shemesh Shabbos, but our biggest day in the business is Shabbos. You know, we sell suits, so we have to be open. But we're still Shemesh Shabbos, just we opened the store. And we have more than 10 from men working there on Shabbos. So his first Shaila, Mamish, was, should we daven weekday Shemayna Esrei or Shabbos Shemayna Esrei? Because we have a minyan in the business every day. But since we're working, maybe we shouldn't daven the Shabbos Shemayna Esrei. That was like one of the first Shailas of these Orthodox people that he was in charge of. So he says, I got up and I told them. And he made a whole drosha after this general for the women. He said, their mamas wanted to carry me home on their shoulders. They were so picked up. He said, I explained to them that it's unrealistic. Hashem wants us to know that our greatest leaders on their level could do something wrong. And there's such a thing called tshuva. And you return to Hashem. And your life is not over. We are not saints. We are humans. Hashem has saints up there in heaven. He doesn't need angels down here. That's not what he made this world for. We're bigger than angels. And one of the biggest things we have is tshuva. So Moshe Rabbeinu, I wanted to bring out over here regarding leadership, and I'll be an example. It's a very high thing to talk about. But Lamaisa, the Baal Shem Tov, Zohar Bracha translates, there are so many pshatim in v'ha'am royim es ha'koylois. Klal Yisrael saw the sounds by Kabbalah HaTorah. So the way Baal Shem Tov touches it, he gives an example. There were once two men, both Rahman Islam, were deaf. The difference is that one never heard. He was born unable to hear. The second, this is an Hakdama of Baal Shem Tov to Pirkei Avos, if you want to look at it. It's an Hakdama to Pirkei Avos. The second was born with perfect hearing, and Nebuch got a disease later on in life and lost his hearing. Both of them individually passed by an estate on which a wedding was taking place. So the first one, who never was able to hear, he went by and he sees the oddest thing. He thought it was an insane asylum. He sees a fellow sitting in front of a bunch of overturned pots of different sizes. He has a stick in each hand. He's banging on these pots and he's shaking up and down and his head is bobbing from side to side. Next to him, there's a guy standing with a black stick coming out of his mouth with silver buttons. His cheeks are bulging, his eyes are popping out, and he's moving back and forth with his fingers on up and down on these silver buttons. Next to him, a guy stands with this wooden creation with strings, and he's got a piece of wood, and he's going up and down and moving back and forth. And if that wasn't bad enough, in front of them all, people are running around. He said, I'm getting out of here. Before they take me in, I don't want to be in this insane asylum. I'm getting out of here. And he runs off. The second fellow comes by. He looks and he grabs onto the gate. He says, music, dancing. Look, they're all dancing to the beat. I see they're all moving their feet the same way. Oh, I wish I could hear it. I see there are sounds. He once heard music. He was able to hear once upon a time. He saw there were sounds. He wished he could hear them. This Klal Yisrael was on a Madrega by Kabbalah HaTorah. We couldn't hear Hashem say the first two Dibrais. We had that Tchias HaMeisim after the, but we saw there was something big to hear over here. We saw there were sounds. We saw the whole Bria was in such excitement. So we said, Moshe, may you talk to us. We want to know what we see. There are sounds here. We want to know what's being said. So I'm all, we hear something very high. And we have to see the sounds and strive as much as we could for it. So in the Maisa of the Meimer Evil, there's not enough time to go into the whole talk, but there's a sefer called Moiz Latan. by Rav Yitzchok Kirzner, Zichron Levracha. He was the Mashgiach of Edison Yeshiva for less than a year. He was Machmasal Niftar very young. He was 42 years old. He had just become Mashgiach there. And he made a sefer of the Shmuzin that he gave. And by his Levaya, the Rachman Shifka Rebbe, Zalzayin Gizun, from Borough Park, so listen to me well, he said that he was one of the biggest Balei Machshava in our generation, Rav Yitzchok Kirzner. So he said by Levaya. So he says, if you look at the Loshain in the Pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, by the speaking about Amunah, by the Meimor Evil, the Loshain Hashem said was Yan lo ye'emantem bi, you both, you and Aaron, didn't believe in me. It's different than trust. Amunah is a step before trust, before betochen. There has to be Amunah. You didn't believe in me. La'akdisheni la'enei b'nei Yisrael. In front, in the eyes of a b'nei Yisrael, you didn't believe in me enough. Therefore, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, the truth is that when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the tzivui to talk to the rock, this is a picture of what it means to be at Tzelem Elokim. Each one of us is a form of the power of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadish b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh v'reishis. Every moment, he says the Asar Ma'amores. So every moment, the main is turned on in the basement of the world, and is a possible surge of electricity if the circuit breakers are turned on upstairs. Each one of us turns on a circuit breaker, and none of us can turn on the one of the other. None of us. We each have our own part of the Bria that we turn on, with the Tzelem Elokim for. So Miriam was the Be'er Shel Miriam. That was hers. When she was Nefteres, it was gone. Moshe Rabbeinu had to bring it back with Aaron by talking to the rock. And the truth is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he told him the Tzivui, the Ebrishter told him with the Lashon of the La'enei Ha'am, in front of the Am. Here's the Lashon, V'dibartem al hasela la'eneihem, not la'oznehem. Not la'oznehem, but la'eneihem. Talks to the seller in front of their eyes. And Rav Kirzner wants to say, well, so what was the chait? So there are so many different pshatim, even in the Medrash. One says because Moshe Rabbeinu lost himself and said, Shemunah HaMoyrib, he called us a name. A leader can't call names. A leader can't do that. Can't lose himself to that degree. Another pshat says because he hit the rock and didn't talk to the rock, he lost himself. That was the cause. Another one is good, that when they teased him, the Erev Ra, and they wanted to prove to Klal Yisrael not to have a Munei Hashem. He's going to say that the Eibishter is bringing water because he's talking to the rock. No. He was a shepherd in Midian for years before he came back to us in Mitzrayim. So he knows which rock gives water. So he's going to go over to that rock and make believe and say Hashem brought out the water. So Moshe said, you want us to bring out water from a different rock? I can't, because Hashem said I have to bring from this rock. But Hashem could bring from any rock. But he said, Noitzi lochem, instead of Yoitzi Hashem lochem. We'll bring out the water. Says Rav Kirzner, and the Ramban is a kasher. What's wrong with what Moshe Rabbeinu did? He hit the rock and water came out. That is a massive nace. How much different is that than talking to the rock? Why should he get so severely punished? How bad is that? How many of us can hit a rock and water is going to come out? Nobody. That's a great nace. It was such a bad thing. So says Rav Kirzner, the taina is so clear that all of them are the same pshat. The pshat was that Moshe Rabbeinu lost himself. What the Eibishter wanted was that v'dibart menasir la'inehem. I'm going to give you a nesoyin. We're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Yidden have to be in a very high madrega to be in Eretz Yisrael. And the madregas all come from emunah in Hashem, from our instinct being alive. If a person is a total maimon, nothing ruffles that. Moshe Rabbeinu was given a nesoyin as a leader. That, and let's understand what went on here. I realize it's time for me. I'll 5 minutes when I try to wrap up. But I will. But you see, by Dostan Va'aviram, right? The Eibishter kept them alive miraculously because he needed them to test Klal Yisrael. They started out in Mitzrayim, causing a lot of tzoras. They didn't go with Moshe Rabbeinu out of Mitzrayim. When they heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, says the Medrash, they ran because they heard about it. It was too late. The Yamsuf already had gone over the Mitzrayim. And they arrived at the first side of the Yamsuf. So the Eibishter, says the Medrash, made a separate Kriyas Yamsuf for them so that they could catch up with Klal Yisrael, because the Eibishter needed them till Korach. The same with this Erev Rav. The Medrash says by the Meimor Evil, they teach Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu either said Moirim, any of them, it was all the same shot. He got very upset. Whatever it was, hitting the rock, calling them Moirim. And when he hit the rock, a little water came out. And they said, that's called water? So he hit it a second time. And so much water came out that it drowned them. The Eibishter kept them alive only till then. For this Nisayon, we have Nisayonis in life. And what the Eibishter wanted was that Moshe Rabbeinu should turn around to them and just look at them. And like, who cares what you say? You know, I'm with the Rabbeinu Shalom. I don't care what you say. It doesn't bother me in the least. I on a very, very, very simple, low level, I think about it sometimes. I can't with that. It doesn't happen to any of you. But I've been driving to and from Yeshiva now, an hour each way for over 30 years. And when you drive so much, Baruch Hashem, I can talk about it. Different things happen. Twice on the way to Yeshiva, my car was totaled. Twice. This didn't happen to anybody. Baruch Hashem, I was fine both times. One time it was in a rainy day, and the tractor trailer skidded on the water, hitting a brake. Other time it was a poshut, the guy was up here, Derech HaTeva, he was careless. It was 35 mile an hour, rush hour traffic. And he came into my lane at 60 miles an hour and just slammed right into me. And, you know, I went to the car ahead of me and bounced back on him. My whole car just broke apart. It was a Corolla, like a toy. It just flew all over the road, you know. But I thought to myself both times, the first time I saw it, because the truck hit me first and tried to avoid me, so he hit another car at the same time. Big tractor trailer. And the person in the other car jumped out and started screaming their lungs out at the guy. I think to myself, you know, it's so sad. You don't know that the Abrahamsa did this. You feel that this guy did it. You think he wants to do this? He's going to be sued now from two people. He's getting in trouble from his boss. What are you screaming at him for? Hashem did it. So from the Rabbeinu Shalom. But that's in a very simple level. Moshe Rabbeinu was in the highest level, and this was. And Rav Kirzner describes his distress. Rav Kirzner is matzdik. He explains Moshe Rabbeinu was carrying us for 40 years in the Midbar. This is on the threshold of going into Eretz Yisrael, the end of 40 years. And he was just so disappointed. You went through so much with us, and you're still challenging me and challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying it's not a nace and saying it's just because I know Midian. He says you have to understand why he lost himself. He was so distressed. How could this be? How could it be after 40 years that we're together? He says, but the Eibishter demands of a leader an example. No. If we work on our Amunah, if our Amunah is alive enough within us, if we don't choke it with infection, and if we nurture it with davening and learning, Be'ezer Hashem, if we nurture it, so hopefully, the goal is to see the sounds of what the Eibishter wanted here, Le'enehem, that we are all in the eyes of these children, as young as you are, and here you're learning, but you're Mechanchem at the same time. And they look at us, and they see how we conduct ourselves. And the reason that Eibishter brings only certain mice in the Torah, there were thousands of other stories, but these are the ones that are nitzvius, that we need eternally, forever. So as we approach Tisha B'Av, and we want it to become a Yom Tov, and we know that it could, and this beautiful camp can be picked up and transported to Yerushalayim, and we can have a big Malav HaMalka on Mitzvah Shabbos. But the Eibishter tells us what he wants in the beginning of the Haftarah. He wants us to keep the Amunah alive. He wants us to keep the instinct alive so that everything else in us is healthy, Be'ezer Hashem. And you should be zeichet to continue the beautiful things that you're doing. And I appreciate and I thank the Bachram who called me. I thank Rabbi Leibowitz for letting me come, because I get chizuk from every time I see young Bachram who are such an example. That's a big chizuk. No matter how old the person is, we also need chizuk. It's a gevaldige chizuk. And I hope that there's a chus of such a situation like this, a beautiful a staff and a koilal and people who are all trying together to be close to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to our bakosha that we're going to sing by Shalosh Sudas this week when we have a Sudas Shloime B'Shaitoi. Yidid Nefesh and Zuf, there are a few Gersois, I'll say one of the Gersois, Maher Ehoiv, quickly HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at all the love that's being shown to you by people who are sitting and learning and embracing the Torah Kedosh, which is the Eibishter's word to us, Rachmana Omar, Hashem is talking through the Torah. So Maher Ehoiv, Mida Keneged Mida, quickly show us love. Kiva Moyed, it's about time. v'chaneinu, and find us charming. Look at the mamash, there's a bigger chayin than a Talmud of Torah. So became like it used to be, and see us as people who are fitting in the session to be in Yerushalayim, and replace that dome on the rock. When I go to Eretz Yisrael, I go come out every year for my yeshiva. I make it my business not to go to the coastal Erev Shabbos, dafka to go before, so I can rise kriya, so I could tear my shirt and to show the avelus that the Beit Hamikdash is not where it's supposed to be. But hopefully, mitzvah Hashem, through all of this beautiful avoda, the siman tov we have of a Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, hopefully we'll see that ahava. V'chanenu k'mei olam mitzvah Hashem, mamish l'shona habo'o b'Yerushalayim. Thank you very much.